We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Netilas Yadayim Lesuda, Halacha Vov, at the end of paragraph Samach Zayin. Rav Nosanzal says, Vafilu ato bedoirois shachar matan Torah, and even nowadays that we're many generations after matan Torah, Yefsher lahamshich hadas hakodosh kiyum al yedei gedolei muvchorei hatzadikim. It is impossible for any Jew to draw das of Hashem without going to the great tzaddikim, without receiving from the great choicest tzaddikim. Shehashem yizborach sholeach b'chol dor v'dor, whom Hashem sends us in each and every single generation. Ukemuvon lemaskil mikol hamaisis shavru b'Yisrael b'chol dor v'dor, adetz ad hayom hazeh. And as anybody will understand who reviews Jewish history, you know, from all the generations till today. V'koirach pogam bozeh mo'id mo'id. Koirach was poigim in this in a terrible, terrible way. Machmas shetzofo shedoyrois kedoshim yetzim imenu, because he saw that these great generations of holy tzaddikim were going to come from him. Al kein sofar shehu hisigadas. He assumed that proves that he's the guy, that he understands Hashem. Because I know that there are going to be descendants of mine that are going to be great tzaddikim, must be that I'm also a great tzaddik. And therefore he wanted to understand everything. He thought that he had the ability to understand everything. And he started delving into questions that he wasn't allowed to ask, that he wasn't allowed to think into. Ad shekofar b'Moshe, to the point where it led him to not to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, u'b'Torosoi, and in the Torah, ad shekofar b'Ikar, until he eventually ended up denying Hashem completely. Perek Samaches, Vizeh Shomer Azal B'Perek Chelek, and this is why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, Vayikach Koirach, She'oso Korcho B'Yisrael. The Gemara says his name was Koirach. One of the reasons why is because he created a bald spot in Klal Yisrael. Korcho means bald. Koirach made a bald spot in Klal Yisrael. And they went ahead, and the Gemara over there shows how when the Torah lists Korach's father's name, father and grandfather and great-grandfather, all of those names are actually adjectives that describe the wrongness of Korach. It's a play on words, that the names of his ancestors can also be used to make adjectives that describe how bad Korach was. As the Gemara says there, Ben Yitzhar, that Korach's father was Yitzhar. Yitzhar is like the Hebrew word Tzohorayim. Tzohorayim means the afternoon when it's very hot, boiling hot. Shehertiach kol hoilam kitzohorayim. Korach boiled up the world, he heated up the world like the heat of the day. V'chein ben Kohos, and the Gemara also there makes a play on the word Kohos, showing how the word Kohos is merames to something about how bad Korach was. The Hiksha and the Gemara asks over there, Lichtoiv ben Yaakov, why doesn't it also write ben Yaakov? She'okav, because Ekev is the heel, that he went against the heel of Klal Yisrael. In other words, we could easily have made a play of words on that also. This is what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Kuftes. Rav Nosan Zal asks, V'hu pele, this is really strange. Lomo lichtoiv shem hakodosh shel Yaakov gamkein lohovchoi l'gnai loy. Why does the Gemara ask this question? Hey, we should have thrown Yaakov Avinu into the pot also, and show away how Yaakov also means something terrible about Korach. What's the point of the Gemara saying that? Ach Korach b'machlokusoy goram sheloi dai shehadas shel bonov lo yenim shach levonov al yodoi. What Korach caused through his machloikus was that not only his children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the das of Hashem, their Yiddishkeit, would not come from him. Not only did he cause that, kiyum al yidei Moshe v'talmidov Yehoshua v'askenim, but rather, where would his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren get their Yiddishkeit from? From Moshe Rabbeinu, from Yehoshua, from the Zgenim, not from Korach, because Korach would be wiped out, obliterated. Not only did he cause that, Afgam pogam v'koras v'okaratz moy miadas hakodesh shel avos v'kedoshim. He also cut himself away and uprooted himself, unplugged himself from the das of his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, shekol hadas shelohem nepach etzlo l'ro. That the das which they had passed on to him, turned sour. it turned into something ugly, something distasteful, something bad, terrible, where he used that das to do bad things. Bibchinas loy zocha, nasis loy samove. Says the Gemara, says, if a person is not zocha, the Torah becomes a poison to him. That's what Korach made from the das that he received from his parents and grandparents, etc. Ad shekol shmoiseyam HaKadosh, shehu hadas shekolo b'ashem shalahem, hofach hakoyl al atzmoy l'ro. To the point where the Gemara shows us that the names of his ancestors, the name of a person, represents the essence of the person. The essence of a person is also the das of the person. When I say Mr. So-and-so or Rabbi So-and-so, I'm not talking about the hairs on his fingers. I'm talking about who that person is. And who a person is really the das of that person. So when the Torah makes a point of saying that Korach made such a mess where he messed up the names of his ancestors, it means he messed up the das of his ancestors. That's why the Gemara said, so why isn't Yaakov Avinu included in this? And Yaakov Avinu would also be included in this shame. Ki bevadai pogam gam b'shoyrosh hadas shel Yaakov shemimenu ascholas yichus Yisrael shenikroam kulam b'nei Yisrael. Because Korach, when he messed up, the mess that he made obviously reached all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, who is the real founder of Klal Yisrael. He's the one from whom the 12 Shvatim come from. V'heishiv, and the Gemara answers, Yaakov bikesh al adovor. Yaakov Avinu said a special tefillah to Hashem about this. And he said, "Bekeholom al teichad kevoidi." Hashem, when there will be an assemblage of bad, please do not include me. I don't want to be included. I don't want any part of it. I don't want my kavod included there. Haynu shezeh hoyo nifloes hakoyach shel Yaakov Avinu. This was the unbelievable power of Yaakov Avinu. Shehimshich bezaroi kedusha sadas hazeh bekedusha chazoka kazois. Yaakov Avinu, when he taught his kids, he wasn't a college professor. He wasn't a biology teacher. He wasn't teaching in an academic way. He was teaching b'kedusha b'tahara. This wasn't just another academic exercise of passing on information. This was transmitting das of kedusha, and it was done with such a degree of holiness and purity. She'afilu im yeh eizem izari poigim b'datoim oid. He did it with such purity that he was able to program it in such a way that even if somewhere along the way in generations after him, there would be a guy that would come along, that would go off the track, that would mess up, lo yia nifsak chas v'sholom hadas mizaroi. That person wouldn't break the chain. That person wouldn't destroy the chain. Ki b'chol dor v'dor yakumu tzadikim, she'yairu datoi boilam. Because Yaakov Avinu broadcast the das of Hashem in such a powerful way, where he ensured that in every generation, despite everything, the das of Hashem will continue to be passed on from generation to generation. V'al kein bikesh mi Hashem yizborach upoal shafilu kishekoyrech yirtze lakiras hakoyl chas v'sholom levat ladas tiktush agdush azeh chas v'sholom hafal pikein lo yuchal lifgoyim b'shoyrosh hadas sheloi shu kvoid Hashem yizborach bebchinas b'cholom al kevoidi. That even Yaakov Avinu accomplished that even though there will come along a Korach who will want to uproot everything, to destroy the Das Tikdusha, he will not be able to be poigim in the origin of the Das, in Yaakov Avinu. And again, that what Das are we talking about? Kivoyid Hashem Yisborach. That kind of Das. A kind of Das that brings glory to Hashem. When a person gets his doctorate and everybody calls him doctor, that's not Kivoyid Hashem, that's Kivoyid me. I am a mechu. Everybody has to honor me by calling me by a respectful title. Whereas the title rabbi or tzaddik, person's supposed to know that means I'm supposed to be nobody. I have to see to it that the kovod is directed all to Hashem, as much as could be. V'chinas b'kolam al teichad kevoidi. And this is why Yaakov Avinu said, in their assemblage, do not include my honor. I want my honor excluded. No, to use the word honor, kevoidi. Because the source of the nefoshos of Klal Yisrael is kavod. Because everything in this world was created for Hashem's kavod. The nefoshos, the Jewish nefoshos, come from the Kisei HaKavod, from the throne of Hashem. V'Yaakov Kolol Mikol HaKavod. And Yaakov Avinu is a composite of all the Kavod. Shehu Shoyrish Kol HaNefoshes Bnei Yisrael. Because he is the founder of Klal Yisrael. Sheyotzim imenu, all Klal Yisrael, the 12 Shotim came from him. Ki him shechzarei begdusha kazois, he brought his children into the world with such a holiness, shekol kovod Hashem yisborach yisgalo yidei zarei, so that the entire kovod of Hashem would be broadcasted to the world through his children. Ki zocho lamita shleimo, he was zocho to a pure bed where every one of his kids was okay. Shekol yud beiz banav hayu kulam kedoshim, all 12 of his sons were kedoshim, and they were all involved in bringing das tikdusha, which is emuna hakdusha, into the world. And with his great strength, Yaakov Avinu accomplished this, that the holiness of his children would never be interrupted, that the holiness of his children would never be broken, you know, that chain would never be destroyed. Shekol zaroi ad hasoif kulam yakiru v'yedo es Hashem Yisborach, that all of his children till the end of time would come to recognize and know Hashem. V'yamshichu hadas hakodesh midor l'dor loylam, and this das tikdusha would be passed on from generation to generation till the end. Ad shafilu imachar kama doiros yinimse eze rosha mizaro yishirtze lahachris atzma mishor sadas hakodesh hazeh, to the point where if at one point in time there would come along a rosha who would want to cut himself off this shoyrish hadas, kemoy korach, hafal pikein lo yuchal lakor kiyem es atzmoy, he'll only be able to blow himself up. He won't blow the whole train up. The train is going to keep moving. He's going to want to blow himself up. He will. He'll blow himself up and off the train. Whereas the generations that would remain after, that would come from him, would remain with holiness, shehu kedusha sadas, shehu kvod Hashem yisborach. They would remain loyal to the kavod of Hashem. Ad shesoif kol soif yizgal ha'idei zaroi shel zeh ha'rosho v'akoifer yizgal ha'idei gam ken kedushas kvod yisborach. To the point where eventually, from the children of this Russia atheist, from his children would be revealed the kavod of Hashem. Shezehu inyan kol ha'rishoim b'nei ha'tzadikim. This is the whole concept of Rishoim, who were children of Tzadikim, Shehoyu Boilam, which we've had already, Ubifrat b'malchei beis David, and especially among the kings of the family of Dovid HaMelech, you find this kind of thing, that they were Tzadikim and they were Rishoim. V'achakach yotzu mehem daika Tzadikim kedoshim v'noiruim moid moid. And in other words, at one point you had a descendant of Dovid HaMelech who was a super Rasha, and then his son ends up being a tremendous, tremendous great tzaddik. Kemoy Ochoz, for example, King Ochoz. Shehoyo ben hatzaddik Yoysam. He was one of the sons of Yoysam. Yoysam ben Uzio, I think it was, who was one of the great, great tzaddikim. Vehu hoyo rosha godoil. And Ochoz was a tremendous rosha. V'ochaz boteich neisiois ubotei medroshois. It's written that he held the shuls and the yeshivas captive. He blocked the door. You know, they weren't allowed to learn. They weren't allowed to daven. Ubikesh levatel haTorah miYisrael ulesalik shchinos miYisrael. He wanted to actually make it that Klal Yisrael shouldn't learn, shouldn't daven. Sheze ikar pegam hakovoid anal, which is the essence of pegam hakovoid against Hashem. Kamoishom razal sheomar im ein gedoyim ein tioshin im ein tzoyin ein roye. As the Gemara says that he said, if there won't be little goats, then there won't be big goats. In other words, if there won't be sheep, there won't be a shepherd. In other words, he figured he'll block the chadorim. He won't let the yidden have chadorim. He'll destroy the Torah. He'll do away with the Torah. The afal pikein. And despite the fact that Ochoz was so great a Rosha, yotza mimenu tzadik kodosh v'noi ramoid, from him came forth a tremendous tzadik, shehu yechizkiyahu, which was Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asoy Soy Moshiach, where the Gemara says that Hashem actually wanted to make Chizkiyahu Moshiach. V'chein Yechizkiyo, hoyledes Menashe v'yomoin shehoyu rishoim. And we know that from Chizkiyo HaMelech came forth two super rishoim, Menashe, who was a super idol worshipper, and Omoin, v'yachakach yotza mehem Yoshiyahu HaTzadik. And after that came forth the great tzadik Yoshiyahu HaMelech, shekomoyu loyhoyo asher shoval Hashem. Where the Novi says there was nobody like him who did such a phenomenal tshuva. V'chein bekama doiros, and so too this has happened throughout many generations of Klal Yisrael. Ad shesoif kol soif, yetzei mehem Moshiach tzedkenu. Until finally, in the end, from this family tree of David HaMelech, which is up and down, up and down, up and down, eventually is going to come forth the great Moshiach, shetavor nishmosoi derech kama doiros rishoim, v'soif kol soif yein oleg mehem. Where his neshama is going to have to go through generations of rishoim, and eventually he's going to come out. V'yihye tzadik kodosh v'noira ma'oid. And Moshiach will be so awesome and holy a tzadik, ad shekol ha'geula ti'al yodoi, to the point where the geula is going to come through him. Ukemuva b'kisvei ha'arizal mizeh. And we know that this topic is written up in the Kisvei ha'arizal, this fact that this holiest of neshamos, Moshiach, has to come from this kind of background. V'zeh hoyo kol inyan koirach. And this was the whole situation by Koirach. Shalidei taivas kevoid atzmoi, because of the fact that he had a desire for personal kevoid, choto ma'oid, he sinned terribly. Umorad keneged Moshe Rabbeinu, and he revolted, he rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. Shemimenu kol hamshocha sadasa kodesh boilam, who is the ultimate person who is able to bring the Das of Hashem into the world. Legalois ki maloi choloretz kavoidei, to broadcast to the world that Hashem's kavoid is everywhere. Ad shekofar b'yikor, until eventually Koirach was koifer mamish in Hashem. V'chol chezkas tu'usoi hoyo alidei bonov. And the whole support for his mistake, what was supporting him, what was giving him substance, was his kids. Shero shalsheles gedoylo yoytzeis mimenu kanal. He saw a great chain of Jewish leaders coming forth from him. Vaydeze nite misvoro lesvoro shel shkorim v'tousim. And as a result of that, he allowed himself to be misled into mistakes and lies. At shekofar b'chol toiras Moshe. To the point where he ended up denying the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ubikesh lakir es hakoil, and he wanted, he was ready to destroy everything. Ad shegoram sheokar es atzmoi mikol kedushas avoyis avakdoshim, to the point where he tore himself out of the kedusha of his forefathers. He was able to pull himself out completely. V'alkei nidrashu olav kol shmoisam lignai v'kanal. And this is why the Gemara goes ahead and interprets each one of the names of his forefathers, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, as an adjective to describe his rishus, the rishus of Koirach. Ki etzloi nehepach hakoil lignai. Because by Koirach, Koirach was able to overturn everything from honor to shame. He was able to take the honor that he was destined to and that came from his forefathers and that was going to end up by his children, and by him he was able to turn it all upside down. Avol kifi oitzen pigomoi hoyoroi sheyeh nichtav gam ben Yaakov. Now we said, based on how powerful a sin Koirach did, based on how powerful was the destruction that he caused, we would have assumed that it would have tarnished Yaakov Avinu also. It would have reached Yaakov Avinu also. Uledor shel ignai olav. And therefore the Gemara should interpret the name Yaakov also in a negative way towards Koirach. K'moshom razal b'Gemara now, as the Gemara says over there in Sanhedrin. Ki hu rotzo lakoir atzmoi mitchilas shoresh kedushas Yisrael, shu Yaakov Avinu. Because Koirach wanted to tear himself out of from the origin, from the essence, which is Yaakov Avinu, who's the foundation of the whole Klal Yisrael. Ach Yaakov b'keish al adovor. However, Yaakov Avinu beat him to the punch. Yaakov Avinu was mispalel for this. Yaakov Avinu knew. He had Ruach HaKodesh. He knew that everything isn't going to go smooth for his kids, for his descendants, for Klal Yisrael. He knew that there's going to be, along the way, there's going to be stones. There's going to be pitfalls. And Yaakov Avinu anticipated this, and he was mispalel, b'keholom al teichat kevoidi. When there's going to be a kehila ra, when there's going to be a bad assemblage that's going to be looking to go against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Hashem, do not include my honor, do not include my kavod. Hainu she'etzem kedushas nekudosoi shel Yaakov tihye mistateres u'misalemesos. So that Yaakov Avinu's tefillah accomplished that when Korach came up on the screen, when Korach came into focus, the essence of Yaakov Avinu, the kiddush of Yaakov Avinu, took a walk. It went into hiding. It shriveled up and went into hiding somewhere, so that it could not be schlepped in and included in this whole party over here. So that the pigam of Korach shouldn't be able to affect it. So that this nekuda, which hid itself during Korach's time, as soon as Korach was 6 feet under or 60 feet under, and Korach's sons did tshuva, this nekuda suddenly crept out from its hiding place, and it's ready to play ball again. It's ready to allow the children of Korach, or the grandchildren of Korach, to be attached to it, and to draw kedusha from it, and to draw energy from it. La'oiram b'tshuva, to inspire Korach's children to do tshuva, b'soich oitzem ha-machloikes ha-gdoyel ha-zois, in the midst of this nuclear machloikes that was going on. V'chein hoya, and that's exactly what happened. She'betoich horash ha-godoyel shel ha-bliya, that in the midst of the frantic screaming, the hysteria that went on, when the ground opened up and Korach and his whole crew were being swallowed up, shavu b'tshuva. His children did tshuva at that point. How? Bekoichoy hazeh, through this koyach, through the koyach of the nekud of Yaakov Avinu, which shone for them. V'nizbatzer lehem mokoyim begehenim, and a special, like a hilltop, was formed in Gehenim for them to be safe, for them not to fall into the valley of death, Rachman Olson, that kind of thing. As the Gemara says, on the Pasuk, the sons of Korach did not die. To the point where eventually, from them came forth this wonderful lineage that Korach foresaw. Shehem hadoirois hakdoishim, Shmuel, etc., etc., which were these holy generations, Shmuel Anavi and others, Shegilu eloikusoi boilam, who revealed Hashem's, the essence of Hashem to the world. Avaloi bekoichoi shel Korach, but Korach had no part in it. Ki hu ne'evad mitoich hakol, he was lost. He was thrown in the garbage. Ki nishar koreach mikan u'mikan, because the Gemara says, he was left with nothing here, nothing there. Ki okar atzmoi me'avoisov, he uprooted himself from his forefathers. V'chol shmoisam akdoishim nidrushu olaf lignai kanal, and all of their names are applied to him in a negative way. The gambono v'doyroisov like kiblu adasa kodesh mimenu, and his own children and his own grandchildren did not receive their das from him. Ki adarabu who hases gamoisam, because on just the opposite, he tried to instigate them and incite them to join him against Moshe Rabbeinu. At shigam heim hoyu b'toych ha-machloikes b'tchila, to the point where in the beginning of the machloikes they were with him, they were involved. Rak shebekoyach tfilosei shel Yaakov, it was only through the koyach of the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, Sivev Hashem Yizborach, that Hashem worked things out in such a way, Shenesoyer b'tshuva, where his children at one point were zoicha to be inspired to do tshuva, Voloy Meisoen did not die, at sheyotzu mehem kol hadoyrois hakdoishim, sheholchu b'derach shel Moshe Rabbeinu, to the point where eventually there came forth from them great generations who followed the derech of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'himshichu hadas hakodesh shel Moshe Rabbeinu boilam, and they drew the das of Moshe Rabbeinu into the world. Leida ulahamin b'Hashem ki melech l'aretz kavoy doy, to know that Hashem is everywhere. V'zeh shedorshu azal sham, and this is why the Gemara says there, vayikach koirach she'osa korcha b'Yisrael, that the Gemara says koirach miloshen korcha, he created a bald spot in Klal Yisrael. Korcho vadai, look at how appropriate the word is that the Gemara uses. Kemoi sode sheyesh boi korachas, it's like a field, where the field has all kinds of beautiful things growing in it, and somewhere in the middle there's a bald spot. Sheyesh tvua upeirois niflo and mikan umikan, there are beautiful fruit and vegetables growing on one side and on the other side. Ubiemtso yesh korcho b'loi tvua, and in the middle there's a strip which is barren, which has no crops. Upeblaitvur peros, kamoi midbar shonim, you know, without fruit and vegetables, like a desolate place. V'zeu b'chinas koirach. That's exactly what happened with Korach. She'avosav hayu kulam kedoshim. His forefathers were tzadikim. Ubono v'doroisav gam kein tzadikim u'kedoshim. And his sons and generations afterwards were also tzadikim. V'hu nishar b'emtzo kamay korcho. And he was left in the middle like a bald spot. V'alkei nikro Korach. That's what the name Korach signifies. The question was just this, that on one hand, isn't kovod just like any other taiva? And in fact, we find Rav Nosson Zalman, I think they say in the name of Rav Nosson Zalman, he once said, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, Hakino v'hataiva v'hakovod moitzien es odom en oilam. The Mishnah seems to be referring to three different things: jealousy, desires, and honor. Those three things, you know, take a person out of their world. Those three things could destroy a person. Rav Nosson Zal once said, we'll make it much easier for you. Another person, you have to keep track of three things. It's very hard. Let's narrow it down to two. It's kina, jealousy, v'hataiva v'hakovoid, and the desire for kovoid. As he put those two together as if it's one thing. So on one hand, the person would say, so what's the big deal? In other words, manishtana kovoid. There's a desire for food, there's a desire for women, there's a desire for kovoid. It's, what's unique about this? One of the things that makes this unique is that Hashem said that this is mine. I am the only one who has the right to this. You know, Hashem. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The final Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, what did Hashem create the world for? A person would say, well, you could talk about that for 600,000 years and never get finished. No. I could answer it in one word. In Judaism, we could answer that question in one word. You want to know why Hashem created the world? Lichvoidoi. For His honor. It's a pasuk. The Mishnah, the Gemara says there, Kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu b'olamai. Everything that Hashem created, He created lichvoidoi, for His honor. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Kol hanikra bishmi ulichvoidi berosiv yitzartiv apasisiv. Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, all the different worlds were created lichvoidi, Hashem says. Now, who are you? Who are you? You want kovod? And whatever kovod you're going to take, you're taking it from me, you're taking away from Hashem. There's 100 units of kovod to go around. You want two? That leaves only 98 for Hashem. Hashem is uncompromising in this item. Hashem insists. Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh. Melech Shemochel al Kvoidoi en Kvoidoi Mochel. A king can't be Moichel on his Kvod. That's why Hashem refers to Klal Yisrael sometimes as Avinu Malkeinu, our father. In the capacity of father, he can be Moichel his Kvod. As king, he can. So we need to know that this item of Kvod is on. Hashem is unbelievably sensitive about it. Kaviyochel. And so too, tzaddikim emulate Hashem. So they're also very sensitive about Hashem's kavod. And if they see that a person, on top of all the mistakes the guy's done, on top of all the averas the guy's done, and the guy's looking for kavod also, fe, avek, no shot. No shot. That's what it says. Question was just mentioned, again, regarding this issue of kovod. Let's say there are certain obligations where the Torah says, kabed es avicha v'simecha. The Torah says that my children are obligated by Hashem to give me respect. And the Gemara says that the respect for parents is like respect for Hashem. Or for the Talmidei Chachamim. It says, es Hashem alekecha tiro. Give fear Hashem. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva said, es l'rabo es Talmidei Chachamim. Es comes to include Talmidei Chachamim. So doesn't this isn't a parent supposed to demand respect? Isn't a rabbi supposed to demand respect? The answer is that there are many variations of this. There are many different options available. And I've seen, even among the rabbis that I've had, I've seen different postures, different attitudes. And recently, especially in recent years, by Rav Michal, Mitz Hashem, he should live and be well to 120 years and see Moshiach, etc., etc. I've seen an attitude which again, it's not something that he invented. It's the same Gemara, the same Torah that says, Kabed es avicha v'simecha, warns not to be a kapton, not to be makbid. That if a parent sees that a child is doing something wrong, the last thing in the world that that should do is get you angry or nervous. That's ridiculous. That's not going to help nobody. Being angry, nervous, upset. The only thing possible is you might feel a little bit bad for the child that he had an opportunity to do a mitzvah and he's losing out on it. So there's a tremendous deep limud. And here again, it takes learning thousands of pages and a lot of tefillah and shimush chachamim, serving talmid chachamim, to watch how do they do it. When they see somebody doing something wrong, how do they correct them? Do they correct them on the spot? Or are they careful not to correct them on the spot? Because on the spot, there's a natural defensiveness. Hey, you're not allowed to sit on my seat. I didn't know. The other person has to come back with some kind of defense or something in many cases. Or to try to wait and look for the best opportunity and the best way indirectly to deliver the message. Or sometimes it's best if the message comes from another person completely, not from the parent. Whereas a parent is supposed to try to avoid that kavod. Even though it's the mitzvah for the child to bring me a cup of tea, it's my mitzvah to get the cup of tea myself. So that in most cases, to watch yourself, for a parent to know that that's part of the test of being a parent, that it's easy to fall into this taiva for kavod, and it's easy to fall into misusing it for myself, for my kavod, rather than Hashem's kavod. Versus a person, a Jew, knowing that this is a 24-hour day obligation to run away from kavod, to run away from it. If your children force it upon, if they know what's right, and if they try to serve you, even then to thank them, to make them feel special, that they did a wonderful thing serving Hashem. Again, to be careful, to bang shot it, to redirect it. That not, I'm so happy you brought me a cup of tea, I would have been much happier if I brought it for myself. Because the last thing in the world that I want is anybody on this earth to serve me. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I was created for. I was created to serve. Picture Hashem looking at me and laughing hysterically. Look at that moron. The guy doesn't, the most basic reason that he was put into the world was to give respect, and this idiot, lunatic, infantile, immature nut job is interested in kavod. He wants respect. He's looking for respect. He's got an interest in respect. So the last thing I want is that. But the Torah obligates me. The Torah obligates you to do the mitzvah. So if you're aware of it, and if you know, and if you want to do it, I can't block you. I can't block you. And on the contrary, I'll compliment you that you did a mitzvah. Not I'll compliment you that you served me. That doesn't make me feel bigger or smaller. I'll compliment you. I'll thank you that you did a mitzvah. I'm happy for you that you got the mitzvah. That kind of attitude.
Paragraph Samach Tes. Viato ma mosku divrei razal shomru b'medrash sheYaakov Avinu bikesh b'kohol amalteicha kevoidi shelo yizocher shmoi b'machlegas korach. And now, based on what we explained in the previous paragraph, you could understand, you'll see how sweet are the words of the rabbis when they said that Yaakov Avinu prayed for two things. He prayed, number one, that when there will be among his descendants, there'll be a person who's a Rasha, who goes off the path, Korach, and who gathers a whole assembly of people to go against Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem, do not include my name there. I don't want my name to be mentioned in that assembly. That was Yaakov Avinu's first tefillah. And his second, Ve'emosai Zocher Shmoi. So the Medrash says, but when did Yaakov Avinu want his name to be mentioned? When the Novi, later on in the prophets, it would mention who were the ones who stood on the special platform in the Mishkan and sang the songs while they were bringing the sacrifices, that was the Levim, Shevet Levi. There it says, Ben Tachas, Ben Asir, Ben this, Ben Yaakov. There, when it mentions Korach, it lists his lineage going all the way back to Yaakov, and it does Me'ad Ben Yisroel. It says not Ben Yaakov, Ben Yisroel. So now listen to this. Yaakov Avinu asked for a double tefillah. Hashem, do not include my name when you talk about Korach's going against Moshe Rabbeinu, but do include my name when you talk about the Levim singing in the Mishkan. Einu, Sheyakov Bikesh Shnei Dvorim Shehim Tluyim Ze Bo Ze. Yaakov Avinu had a double request where both items were very much dependent on each other. Kedei Sheyishoer Kedushosoy Shu Kedushas Hadas HaKadosh Bo'olam Lahakir Esabay Reish Shamayim Voretz. In order that the das, that Yaakov Avinu's holiness, which is his das, which is the ability to recognize that there's a Hashem in the world, and Hashem created everything, heaven and earth, in order that that should remain. In order that that should remain, Yaakov Avinu had a double request. Ki bikei shal machloikes shel koirach sherotzu levat ladas hakodesh hazeh al yidei shecholak al moishe v'toyrosoi oz loy zocher shmoi shelo yuchal livkoyim b'sherish kedushosoi. His first request was that when Koirach would go against Moshe Rabbeinu and against the Torah, then he wanted his name to be omitted, not to be mentioned. Ulehepech al aduchon oz daiko yu misyachsen al shmoi ben Yisrael kedei sheyihi nimshach kiddush az daitoi shu sherish kiddush az kol Yisrael yihi nimshach bohem shaydei ze yihi lehem koyach legaloi soloher hadas boilam. Whereas, when they would talk about the singing in the Mishkan, then he prayed that his name should be mentioned. What do you mean by mentioning his name? The mention of his name would imply mentioning his das. They would turn on the lamp of Yisrael, which is his light, his das, his awareness of Hashem. They would activate that and pass that on to all of his descendants. How? How would his descendants carry on that torch after him? Through the special songs that they sang with Ruach HaKodesh when they stood on the platform in the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdosh. V'alkein bikei sheyakov al zeh sheyizocher shmoy al aduchan be'eis shebikei sheloi zocher shmoy v'machlokusam. And this is why Yaakov Avinu saw fit to make both requests together. The request to have his name mentioned when his descendants would be listed about the privilege that they had of singing in the Mishkan, the Leviim, that had to be attached to not mentioning his name by Koirach. Ki zechiras shmoi biyichusam al aduchon hu tikun lepegam machloikes Koirach. Because having Yaakov Avinu's name mentioned when the Navi speaks about his descendants in later generations who would stand on the platform and sing in the Mishkan, that would be a tikun for the machloikes of Koirach, who was also a descendant of Yaakov Avinu. Shebikesh la'akor hakol, this Koirach who wanted to destroy everything. Afilu nekudas kedushas Yaakov, he even wanted to destroy the holiness of Yaakov Avinu. Ad shehuchrach Yaakov lehispalel shelo yizocher shmoy aleihem, to the point where Yaakov Avinu was driven to actually daven to Hashem that his name should not be mentioned with Koirach. Shelo yigia hapagam lishon, so that the destruction of Koirach shouldn't tarnish Yaakov Avinu's name, shouldn't diminish and cause a problem to Yaakov Avinu's name. V'alkein bikesh miyad shal aduchon oz daiko yizocher shmoy. And that's why, together with that tefila, he asked Hashem immediately that his name should be mentioned when the Torah would discuss the Leviim singing on the Duchan. L'hoyrois, shenekudas kedushosoy einoy nefsekes loylam. This would be to show Klal Yisrael that the holiness of Yaakov Avinu was not able to be terminated permanently. Afal pi shehoyo b'emtza korcho, shehu koirav hakanal. Even though there was a bald spot in the middle, even though there was an interrupt in the middle, a pause, it was a pause, the pause is over, and the train keeps going. Ki nekudas kedushosoy yislabesh bezaroy v'kanal. Because that holiness of Yaakov Avinu would end up being transferred over to the children of Koirach. V'alkein bikei shupo aleitz lashmizbora she'oz b'yichus aladuchan oz daiko yizocher shmoy. And this is why his tefillah was that when the Torah would mention the fact that the descendants of Koirach ended up singing on the Duchan in the Mishkan, Yaakov Avinu was mispalel that his name should be mentioned there. That would be the tikkun for the machloikas of Koirach, where Yaakov Avinu's name wouldn't be mentioned. There's a whole system of checks and balances. Everything has to match, and everything has to fit. And the tzaddikim of earlier generations, not only did they take care of themselves, but they took care of all their descendants to come in the future, and they programmed things in such a way that even though there's free choice,
even though there is Bechira, and even though there could come along a Rasha who will mess up along the way, the worst that he'll be able to do is mess himself up, or maybe mess up another generation sometimes. But inevitably, eventually, that awesome holiness that the original tzaddik left in the world, Yaakov Avinu, or the other great tzaddikim, that holiness would carry on. It would not be stopped permanently, would not be terminated. At the worst that could happen is a pause, skip, a hop and a jump, and the train keeps going. It keeps going with further descendants being tzaddikim and carrying on, carrying the torch. Udvar elekenu yokum lo'ilam. And the word of Hashem will be established permanently. In other words, the good wins out in the end. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, ubinyan ze yesh dvorim ne'elomim harbe. In this whole topic, there's a lot to say. There's a lot of secrets related to this about how this goes on with different generations and when things go wrong and then it gets corrected in a generation later. Va'ayin mashikos va'atmar zal b'simin yud zayin al posuk Hashem yispor b'ksav amim ze yulad shom sela. Take a look in chapter 17 in Likut Imran, in the first half of Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal quotes this posuk, and there he discusses the concept that at times the goyim block the Jews from doing mitzvahs. They don't allow the Jews to keep Shabbos. They don't allow the Jews to do other mitzvahs. And in a sense, they swallow up that good. There was good that the Jews had, that the Jews either were doing or could be doing. And the goyim don't allow them to do that, so the goyim have swallowed up that good. Sometimes, when enough of that good comes together, it explodes. It bursts open wide, and it ends. How does it burst open? You have this bursting headlines, whereby in their writings, Rabbeinu Zal says, sometimes this good ends up showing itself and speaking, in other words, proclaiming the truth, the real truth, where you get a non-Jew who reads their books of religion, and he finds things in there that are contradictory to what he's being told, or, you know, bichlal, that lead him on a search, that lead him to realize that what they're teaching him is wrong. And he starts searching and he finds his way back to Judaism. How did it happen? By something he read in their books. How did it get into their books? How does that happen? The answer is that this good that the goyim swallow up, they can't destroy it. They can cover it up. Lahavdil, it's like a washing machine. It's bouncing up and down, boom, boom, and you want to shut the thing up, so you put a towel over it, you put a blanket over it, you know, or an alarm clock that's ringing, and you're trying to still... But you didn't shut the alarm clock. It's still going. It's just you're trying to stifle it. Eventually, it comes out. And Rabbeinu Zal there has a whole description about one of the things that ends up leading to Gerim, and when the Goy converts, you say, where does his neshama come from? Where does his goodness come from? If a Goy is basically bad in many cases, so how could this guy be good? The answer is very often he's a composite of the good that the Goyim swallowed up. All of those mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the Jews could have done, had a potential to do, or were doing that the Goyim robbed them from, that accumulates and accumulates until it reaches a certain boiling point. And then it bursts. It bursts out on the scene and it shows itself sometimes b'ksav amim, in their ksavim. And people that have had experience with converts, you'll know when you speak to them, very often, not in all cases, very often this is what happens. Person studying and in their own books they see things that lead them away from their old religion or what they were being taught and lead them to Judaism. And Rav Nosson Zal says, take a look also in the Kut Elochus Yoredeya, in the chapter Dvorim Hayotzim Min Achai, where this topic is discussed over there. V'tovin meirochoik ma'at, and you'll understand a drop from the distance of the depth that's involved in this topic, this concept of tzaddikim and how the generations evolve from them, and what happens when something goes wrong, what happens when the train gets derailed in a generation, how does it get back on track, etc. Ach achar kol eile, tzorich kol echod lodas, shabachira chofshis tomin. However, after everything we've said now, the most important thing you need to realize is that everybody has free choice. No matter who your daddy is, whether your daddy's the biggest rabbi, the biggest tzaddik, Well, lahavdil, the worst Russia, you still have free choice to decide whether you want to be religious, irreligious. Tzaddik Russia, or anywhere in between. Even if a person has parents that are tzaddikim, awesome tzaddikim, vafiluim asidim lotzis mimenu tzaddikim, and even if besides his parents being so good, his children and grandchildren are going to be great tzaddikim, afal pikein hu yeshloi bechira. He still has a cannon aimed at him. He can be blown away any second, or he can blow himself up. He can self-destruct anytime he wants to. He's got free choice. V'im yetiv myself, ashrei loy. And if he decides to be religious, to be good, to serve Hashem, he's very fortunate. V'im lav, and if chas v'shalom he decides not to be religious, and he thinks he's going to rest on the laurels of his grandparents and parents or his kids, oy loy, woe is to that person. Makolshgein, kishesoymech aleihem, lachloik ala tzadik u'emes. Especially when a person takes the initiative to go and fight and speak out against a tzaddik, and he thinks he's covered because he's got a great daddy. His daddy was a big tzaddik, so he doesn't have to be afraid to start up with somebody else because he's got this big boulder behind him. He's got this big, big tank behind him. His daddy or his granddaddy or his great-granddaddy, who were very great tzaddikim. So he's arrogant, and he's not afraid to start up with anybody. Lahavdil, just like you have a little kid who goes over to somebody twice his size and says, "You're a dummy." Why? Because he's got his big brother standing next to him, and he knows if the other guy slaps him for being disrespectful, his big brother will eat the other guy. And so he knows the other guy's, he's not going to get slapped even though he did a no-no, he did a terrible thing. So here, Baruchnia, sometimes you can have a person who has guts. He's not afraid because he's got his big brother next to him. He has his father or his grandfather or his uncle who's a big rabbi. So Rav Nosson Zal says, oy loy, oy lenafshon. Woe is to that person, woe is to his soul. Ki hanefesh hachoitas hi tomus. Because the pasuk says, the one who sins, he'll die. Ve'ov lo yisobo v'ayin haben. And a father will not be made to pay for what his son does wrong. Uben lo yiso, and the son won't pay. You have your own free choice. You can decide what your destiny is going to be, regardless of who's in front of you, who's in back of you. V'chol ze muvan mimachloikas Korach. And this is shown very clearly from the story of Korach, as we explained. V'ayin le'el ba'ois zayin ba'halucha zois. Shom avoyer gam came in Korach ein shom. If you recall, many, many moons ago, when we were about 20 pages ago, there Rav Nosson Zal introduced the topic of Korach also related to this halacha, but in a different format completely, discussing different issues completely. This is Rav Nosson Zal's response to one of the main problems, number one, among Hasidic groups, and even among non-Hasidic groups. Wherever there is a great rabbi, a great and there's his children or his talmidim who aren't going in his path. They're not exactly like him. And yet they want to wear the clothes. They want to make believe that they're, my daddy was a rabbi, I'm a rabbi. My daddy was a giant, I'm a giant. My daddy was a rabbi, I'm not afraid of anybody. And I'm not afraid to take chances, etc. Unfortunately, this is what has caused a lot of terrible things in Klal Yisrael. And Rav Nosson Zal here gave a crystal clear explanation and proof from the written Torah, from the Chumash, showing that this isn't new. History repeats itself. This was already. And this was written in the Chumash clearly so that everybody should know what to do. Everybody should know what kind of situation could crop up, what kind of test could present itself. And the Torah showed what happened when somebody did the right thing and what happened when somebody didn't do the right thing. The Torah showed how Yaakov Avinu took care of himself. It's not lahavda like in other cases. Somebody does something terrible, he gets wiped out, and his whole name gets wiped off the face. Rav Nosson Zal brings in one place in the Kutei Halachos that you see among kings, non-Jewish kings, a guy takes over and he becomes the big boss, and he's got it all. And then there's a rebellion, a revolt a couple of years later. They kill him, his wife, his kids, wipe out totally, like, which a regular person never experiences, that kind of wipe out. Total. That's only when you get to the top. When you become a head of a mafia family, something like that, then you know that if they decide to get you, they don't just get you. They wipe out. It's as if you never, ever, ever existed, period. And lahavdil, by Jews, Yaakov Avinu was able to see to it, was able to plan things and lay things out in such a way that even if something would go wrong along the way, he still took care of it to see that the das that he introduced to the world would continue, that train would keep going until Bias Mashiach. These are the great tzaddikim. Now, Rav Nosson Zal goes back to the topic of achila, which is the basic topic of this halacha. V'zeh b'chinas birchas hamozoim. And everything we discussed till now is tied into the topic of the bracha of birchas hamozoim, which we make after eating. Ki ikar tikkun hu achila hu lizkoisos lehoras harotzoim. Because we discussed earlier that one of the most important objectives in eating, one of the most important goals is to be zoche to he'oras harotzoim, that as a result of eating properly, the person receives an inspiration of desire to serve Hashem. She'yoyer lo'osid, which we know is going to, this glow is going to glow, especially in the future. Bechinas va'ato noisen l'mesochlam be'itoy. And we know that you have it during eating also, because the pasuk says, va'ato noisen, you give them their food, be'itoy, at its right time. And there's another pasuk, bechinas there's going to come a time when the angels are going to say to the Jews, what is Hashem doing? Because the Jews are going to be closer to Hashem than the angels. This is the concept of that ultimate good which Hashem has designated and reserved for those that serve Him properly, for those that fear Him. This He'oras HaRotzayn of the future. And because Hashem wanted us to achieve this through eating, He wanted a yid to achieve this tremendous aliyah called Hayoras HaRotzayim. That's why Hashem instituted that after you eat, you say Birchas HaMozayim. Kidei sheyizke kol echod veechod miYisrael lahamshich al atzmoi b'chinas Hayoras HaRotzayim. So that each and every single Jew should have the opportunity and the ability to draw upon himself this Hayoras HaRotzayim. Al yidei hadibur hakodosh shel Birchas HaMozayim, through the holy words of Birchas HaMozayim, shemavorchin, which umoidim umeshabchim Hashem Yisborach al achilosoi, whereby we bless Hashem and we acknowledge Him and we praise Him over the food that He gave us. Ki kol habrochois v'hahoidois l'shmoi ha'godol Yisborach him b'china se'oras ha'rotzoim. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, anytime we bless Hashem or praise Hashem or thank Hashem, that's a concept of he'oras ha'rotzoim. We're turning on that light, that lamp called he'oras ha'rotzoim. Kishmoi bigimatria rotzoin. Because the word Shmoi, His name, the name of Hashem, is bigimatria rotzoin. Ki kol habrochos v'hahoidos klulim bebechinas asora minei negina. Because we know that all the different types of praises of Hashem can be basically summarized, can be reduced to the 10 basic types of song. Shehem brocha v'hoido. Among the 10, one of them is bracha, and one of them is hoidah, which are the whole concept of blessing Hashem and praising Hashem. Shekulam heim bechinas dveikus nifla v'rotzoin v'hishtoikikus nimrotz elav Yisborach, where all of these 10 types of song symbolize a tremendous yearning and attachment to Hashem with infinite desire. Because we mentioned once, the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Levi was born, his mother said, "Hapam yilove ishi elai." Now my husband is going to become very much attached to me. So Rashi gives one reason for it. The Zohar HaKadosh says, you know why she said that? This concept of being attached, deeply attached, because the Leviim are the ones who would be the singers. And song is the thing that attaches somebody more than anything else. Song gives a person dveikus, the level called dveikus, being attached to Hashem in a very deep way, is something that a person can achieve through song more so than anything else. So therefore, we see that nigunim, or praises of Hashem, which are another form of nigun, are a concept of dveikus. Dveikus is he'oras ha'rotzoin. Dveikus is where the person is yearning to Hashem. They can't climb high enough to reach up to Hashem. V'alkein, ikar birchas hamozoin hu ala kois shel yayin. And it's for this reason that the ultimate way of Birchas HaMazon is when it's done over a cup of wine. Ki ein oimrim shir el alayayin. Because the Gemara says in another place that shir halel hoido is supposed to be said over wine. Sheze bechinas dveikus forotzoin. And we saw le'inyan kanal le'inyan dalet koisais, bois yutes. And Rav Nosson Zal showed us earlier in paragraph yutes that wine is a concept of dveikus and rotzoin. The Gemara says a person who is mispate beyenoi, a person who allows himself to be appeased when he's drinking wine. Wine is something that brings appeasement, it brings love, it brings attachment, dveikus, this heoras harotzoin. So that's why Birchas HaMazon, which is praise of Hashem, which is a concept of heoras harotzoin, goes together with wine, which is pitui, appeasement, heoras harotzoin also. Because that's the main objective in why we eat. Our eating is supposed to bring us to being appeased, to feeling good, and feeling good towards Hashem, feeling a deep desire and yearning towards good, towards Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas gimel brochei shel Birchas HaMazon. And based on what we've learned from the chapter on the Likutei Moran that Rav Nosson Zal is explaining here, you'll understand now why there are three basic brochos in Birchas HaMazon. And there was a fourth one that was added later on. Ki lehoras harotzoin ein zoichin ki malidei klolius ben v'talmid, shehu klolius dorimala v'dorimata, kama shekoso shom b'atoranal. Because we learned earlier that in order for a person to achieve this heoras harotzoin, it requires two. It requires a merging of upper and lower. Dorimala dorimata, ben and talmid. V'alkein heim gimel brochos b'Birchas HaMazon. And this is why you have three basic brochos in Birchas HaMazon. Echod keneged horas dorimala. V'echod keneged horas dorimata. V'echod keneged klulusam yachad. One brocha refers to the upper level. The second brocha refers to the lower level. The third brocha refers to the unity between them. Just like when it comes to Shabbos, the Zohar HaKadosh says that on Friday night we say V'yonuchu vo kol Yisrael. Shabbos morning we say V'yonuchu voi kol Yisrael. Shabbos afternoon we say V'yonuchu vom. And what's the gematria of bo, boi, bom? Zon, 57 zon, which is what we're talking about here. Achila degdusha, hazon brachma v'sakoil, which is heoras harotzon. That's this whole concept of uniting upper, lower, and merging them together. Ki brocha rishayna tikein Moshe, kishiyorad hamon liYisrael, kama Hashem razal. Because the Gemara says, who's the one who instituted the first brocha of Birchat HaMazon? Moshe Rabbeinu. When the mon came down to the Jewish people in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted this law of thanking Hashem after eating. V'zeh b'chinas ha-sogas mo, b'chinas ha-oras dorei malo kanal. And Rabbeinu Zal told us in Likutei Moran that the upper level, the dorei malo, are referred to as mo rav tufcha asher tzofam to l'reecho. That's the upper level. Mo is a concept of Moshe. Moshe is shin mo. Ki Moshe hu ikro ha-rebi ha-rishoin, she-ikro ha-sogosoi b'chinas mo, she-boi klulim shneim, ki atachtoi nechlau belion, kama shekosu shom. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Rebbe who was zeichet to the highest level of mo, where in his mo is included both upper and lower. V'zeu b'chinas hamon, and this is the concept of the mon which the Yidden had. B'chinas v'yikru beis Yisroel es shmoi mon, ki lo yodu mahu. It says that the Jews called it mon because they didn't know what is this? Ma. We said, remember, that ma is heoras harotzoin. When a person feels a yearning to Hashem, which they can't even put into the words, they say, what? I don't know what to do for Hashem. I don't know what to do with myself. That concept when a person feels so excited and so such a deep yearning for something that all they can say is what? And the what is like a thirst, a reaching out, wanting to touch, wanting to merge in the heart, closest way. Ubracha beis, and the second bracha of Birchas HaMazon, hu berkas ha'oretz, is the bracha al ha'oretz v'al ha'mazon, right? Ze b'chinas ha'sogas dorimato. That refers to the lower level. Shehi b'chinas maloi chol ha'oretz kivoidoi. We said in Likutei Moran that the upper level is called Ayei Mekoyim Kivoidoi. The lower level is called Meloi Chol Ha'oretz Kivoidoi, Artzius, the ground, the lowest place. Ki Iker Hizgalus Kivoidoi Bo'oretz Hagashmi Azoi Siberetz Yisrael. Because we know the main ability to broadcast and to show the honor of Hashem, the glory of Hashem, is in Eretz Yisrael. Within this world, the place where Hashem's kavod can shine the brightest, can be shown most clearly, is in Eretz Yisrael. Umishom nimshach ein zehora gam lechutz loretz al yidei hakedusha she Yisrael mekachin gam hoaver shel chutz loretz bekedushas Eretz Yisrael kemu bedvorzal. And it's from Eretz Yisrael that the Jews in Chutz Loretz are able to draw some of that holiness, able to draw some of that Kedusha, and use it to purify the air of Chutz Loretz, to give it a taste of Eretz Yisrael, to give it a little bit of that. As the Gemara says clearly, Kol hador b'Eretz Yisrael doime k'mi sheyesh lo yelaka, that a Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's like he has Hashem. And a Jew who lives in Chutz Loretz, Chas V'Shalom, the wording of the Gemara is, it's as if he doesn't have Hashem. Knows that there is a marked difference between living in Eretz Yisrael and living in Chutz Loretz. However, we said again, a Jew has the ability, even the Jews of Chutz Loretz, have the ability, if they believe in Eretz Yisrael, and if they try to be attached to Eretz Yisrael. How? By traveling to Eretz Yisrael, whenever they have the opportunity to travel to Eretz Yisrael, by supporting Eretz Yisrael, by encouraging their children to live, if they can't live there themselves, helping others to live in Eretz Yisrael. This way they show that they're plugged in, that even while they're in Chutz Loretz, they're plugged into Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nizal writes in a chapter in the Likutei Moharan, where is a person? A person is where his mind is, not where his feet are. Rabbi Nizal said, my feet are walking in Russia, but my heart, my machshava, my essence is in Eretz Yisrael, period. Everything about him is plugged into Eretz Yisrael. Proof is, we see that when he undertook to go to Eretz Yisrael, there wasn't any obstacle big enough. War, everything, family, all the thousands of obstacles that lined up to block him, he walked right through all of them. He went through because he was so close, because that's where his attachment was. He knew that's where he is. And this is why the Gemara tells us, who is the one who established the second bracha of Birchas HaMazon? Yehoshua, the student. Ki Yehoshua hu bechinas Talmud. Yehoshua is the symbol of the student. As Rabbi Nizal writes over there in Likutei Moharan, in this chapter of Likutei Moharan, Shehasagoso bechinas Meloi Chol Eretz Kevoidoi. Yehoshua is the one, the student, whose hasaga is the lower type hasaga. The hasaga of Meloi Chol Eretz Kevoidoi. Shehu hasagas haTalmud. Kama shekosav sham. As Rabbi Nizal explains over there in chapter 7 in Likutei Moharan, when he discusses the Talmud. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, the first bracha of Birchas HaMazon and the second bracha. Hu birchas b'nei Yerushalayim tiknu David u'Shlomo kishenivna beis hamikdash. And the third bracha of Birchas HaMazon, who established that? The Gemara says that when David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech completed the Beis HaMikdash, that's when they instituted this third bracha of Birchas HaMazon. B'nei Barachmav Yerushalayim Amen. Ze bechinas klolius ben v'talmid, klolius dorimalim, dorimatim dorimalo. She bechinas klolius oilomos, shezehu ikur. That symbolizes the unification of upper and lower, of upper worlds, lower worlds, rabbi, student. She ikur ze atikin b'shleimus nimshach ha'idea beis hamikdosh. She shom oilin kol akrabonos v'kanal. Because as we explained earlier, which place in existence was the ultimate symbol of unification of upper and lower? The Beis HaMikdash. That's where korbanos, animals, which are the lowest, you know, dumb animals, were able to be elevated to the highest place, to be a reach nichoyach l'Hashem. The Zohar Kodesh, the Arizal, says that the word nichoyach is bigimatria 72, showing that it reaches up to the atzilus, the highest. In Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei, there are four combinations. Ov, sog, mobon, ov is the highest. So nichoyach is ayin beis, showing that the aroma of the korban reaches up to the highest of the worlds. Like we learned yesterday, a few days ago, siluka diktoiris adein soif, that the aroma of the ktoiris reaches up to the crown of Hashem, to the highest of places. That's the bottom going up. And Kaviyochel, the Beis Mikdash, was the place where Kaviyochel, the Shechina, came down. The Osuli Mikdash, the Shochanti Besoicham. Hashem, from the highest of places, came down. Vayered Hashem, Kaviyochel. V'alkein, kishenivne Beis HaMikdash, oz nishlam ha-tikun hazeh. And therefore, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, that's when this tikun of the klolius, of dorimala dorimata, of rabbi and student, came together. That's when David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech instituted the third bracha of Birchas HaMazoyim, Shehu Boine Yerushalayim, Ki Iker HaTikin Hu Al Yidei Yerushalayim Ubeis HaMikdosh. Because the main tikkun of Klal Yisrael and of the world depends on Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdosh. Sheshom Iker Klal Yisrael Amos. That's the main place where all the worlds come together. And when there's a klolius, when there's a unification of upper and lower, that's what causes he'oras harotzin, as we learned before. And this is why this set of brachos is said for eating, not for learning, for eating. So that bedafka at the time of achila, as it says by Boaz and Rus, Vayomer Boaz le'eis ha'oichel gishi halom. During eating is a time of hiskarvus, of tremendous hiskarvus to Hashem. Shehu ha'rotzoin sheyor losid. This alludes to that special, that highest level of rotzoin that's going to shine for Klal Yisrael in the future. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, ko'eis ye'omar li'yakov li'yisrael ma'poel keil. That there's going to come a time when the Malachim are going to say to the Jews, what is Hashem doing? Because the Jews are going to be even closer. Now, paragraph Ayin Beis, Rav Nosson Zal explains the fourth bracha, which was added on later. V'zeh b'chinas birchas ha-toyv ha-meitiv she-tiknu b'yavne al harugei beitar she-nitnu le-kvura. And now we could understand the fourth bracha of Birchas HaMazoyim, which was first instituted years later when the Jews fought against the Romans in Beitar, and the Romans wiped out all the Jews in Beitar. The Gemara talks about whether there were 4 million or 40 million Jews in Beitar at the time. And they wiped them out, and they left them lying outside. And they wouldn't allow the Jews to bury them for a period of time. And finally, when the Jews were given permission to bury the Harugei Beitar, that's when they instituted this bracha of Hatoyv HaMeitiv. This was a way of thanking Hashem for the fact that they were given permission to bury the dead of Beitar. This the Gemara says, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Ki ikar hatoyv hu amiti v'hanitzchi hu heoras harotzoin sheyizke kol echad losid lefi b'chinosei. Because the ultimate good and the eternal good is the heoras harotzoin that every single Jew is going to be zeichet to in the future. That deep yearning and desire for Hashem. Shal zeh ne'emar, about that is written the pasuk mor rav tuvcho asher tzofanta li'reyecho. What is this awesome goodness which you, Hashem, have reserved and hidden away for those who fear you? Mor, we said, is horas harotzim. V'al kein li'osid lovo yivorcho ala koil ha'toiv ha'meitiv. And this is why the Gemara says that in the future, everything that's going to happen, the Jews are going to make the bracha ha'toiv ha'meitiv. There's not going to be any baruch dayan ho'emes anymore. Because then people are going to realize that everything they're going through and everything that happens to them is for their eternal good. So that the person should be zeichet to the awesome heras haratzon, sheze oil ala koil, which is above everything. And this is why, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, is when the rabbis instituted making this bracha hatoiv ha-meitiv in Birchas HaMozoim, kidei lahamshich al yidei zeh horas harotzoim mehoilam habo loilam hazeh. So that would be a way of a Jew being able to draw into this world the he'oras harotzoim from the next world, from oilam habo. By a Jew saying that bracha of Hatoiv HaMeitiv, he's able to reach up into Olam Haba in a sense, and draw some of that light into Olam Hazeh. Just like the concept of Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's given on Shabbos, a Jew has the ability in this world, in the physical world, to draw some of the light from the next world, from that upper world. Because when the Gemara describes Olam Haba, it describes Olam Haba as a place where everybody's going to say Hatov HaMeitiv. So then when a Jew in Birkat HaMazon says Hatov HaMeitiv, what he's obviously doing is he's plugging into Olam Haba. He's reaching up into Olam Haba.
כי בזמן שבייס מקדש היה קיים, היה נמשך חורס הרוצים ממילא, על ידי הגימל ברוכה של ברוך סמוזן, שמכין אז כלוליס הילומויס, שיקרם היה בבייס מקדש, הידי הקורבונוי שמחפרים.
Because when the בייס המקדש was up and running, so the Jews were able to draw Haoras HaRotzayim through the unification of upper and lower that was activated every single time Korbanos were being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. That Haoras HaRotzayim was shining, was glowing from the Beis HaMikdash and was being pumped out to all of Klal Yisrael.
אבל עכשיו שאין לנו בייס המקדוש ולאי קורבן, whereas once the בייס המקדוש was destroyed and there's no more בייס המקדוש, no more sacrifices, וצריכים להמשיך הכפורו והסליחו על הווינויס על ידי הוכילו בעצמו.
Now, what was one of the main accomplishments in the בייס המקדוש?
That a Jew was able to have his sins forgiven. The oilas tomid that was brought in the morning forgave for all the sins of the night. And the oilas tamid that was brought in the afternoon atoned for all the sins of the day. So the Jews were laundered twice a day. They got washed from all their sins twice a day. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash. Where's the laundromat now? The Gemara says, your kitchen table, your dining room table. The shulchan is mechaper kemizbeach, the Gemara says. Kamo yishom razal, she'achshov shulchan oy shelot mechaper. Today, your table is like an altar. It's like the altar in the mizbeach. In the Beis HaMikdash, v'alkein, if the person eats properly, if they're careful that everything they eat should be 100% kosher, and it should be clean, and they eat with derech eretz, and they make a bracha the right way, if they do all the things that they're supposed to do related to eating correctly, v'alkein, achshav tzrichin lohoisev bracha revius. That's why now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, a fourth bracha had to be added, shu berachas hatov ha'meitiv, shehi b'chinas habracha shel olam haba. That fourth bracha is the olam haba bracha. She'oz yeh haras haratzayin. In olam haba is when the Jews are going to achieve the true haras haratzayin. Ki achshav tzrichin lahamshich haras haratzayin shelos lovoi al yedei habracha noisefes shemedaberes mei olam haba. Now we draw upon ourselves this Haoras HaRotzayim by saying a bracha that describes Olam Haba, that talks about this era of all good. Hatoiv Ameitiv Lakoil, Shehi Berchas Hatoiv Ameitiv, Sheyivorchu Lo'osid Alakoil, which is this bracha that the Gemara says is going to be the bracha of the future. The bracha of Olam Haba is going to be Hatoiv Ameitiv. V'alkein Tiknu Hatoiv Ameitiv B'yavne, al harugei beitar shenitnu likvura. And this is why, out of all these strange circumstances in the world, in Jewish history, that should activate this bracha, it was this issue of the harugei beitar being allowed to be buried. V'hador tamuha. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is so strange. Lomo tiknu birchas atoiv ameitiv daikal shenitnu likvura. Why is it that when they were given permission to bury those people, that's when they instituted this awesome bracha? וגם מה זה שקובו ברוכה זו שנתקנה על קבורה סרוגי ביתר בברכה סמוזן דייקה? And again, I can understand, it's a nice ברוכה that they should institute when you walk into a cemetery. Why did they put it in the middle of my lunch? Talking about a ברוכה thanking Hashem over the fact that he allowed us to bury dead people, and they put that ברוכה in my lunch? In ברכה סמוזן? What's the connection? So Rav Nosson Zal says, הויה להם לקויבה בברכה התפילה. That bracha should have gone into the mincha or mariv or shachris or the Yom Kippur davening. I can understand that. You have the asara harugei malchus. You have a special paragraph in the tefillah of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av where you talk about the 10 great tzaddikim that were killed. Ach ikar bracha zois tiknu lechazek tikvosenu adayin gam achar achurban shadayin yesh lanu tikvo lizkois larav tuv hatzofen losid lovoi shiharas harotzen.
Rav Nosson Zal says the main reason why our rabbis instituted this bracha was to give the Jewish people hope and to let us know that even though that we have no Beis HaMikdash, even though we're in exile, we are still hoping to be zeche to this ultimate good that's reserved for us in the future, this Haoras HaRotzayim.
וזה תקנו על ידי שרו חסד השם שהרוגי ביתר ניתנו לקבורה.
And what instituted it, what activated this was when they saw the kindness of Hashem in that Hashem allowed the harugei beitar to be buried.
כי הקבורה הוא תיקון המס.
Because burial is a tremendous תיקון for the person that dies.
כי עוז דייקו מסחיל צמיחס חיוסוי הנצחי.
Because it's when the person is buried that's when his new life begins. That's when his life in Olam Haba begins. That's his birthday. The Yahrzeit is really a birthday. That's the real birthday, where the person is being born into the next world, into eternal life. As the Pasuk says, the earth will return to the land like it was originally. And the spirit will return to Hashem. The dust will return to the earth where it came from. And the spirit will return up to Hashem. The Hashem who injected the spirit into the body. It's when a person is buried, that's when this Heoras HaRotzlein starts shining for him. That's when the light of the future, the light of the next world, is turned on for him. Where the soul starts shining and glowing into the body, this body that's so far from it right now, it's so far apart. And that's when this Heoras HaRotzlein shines in the person. Shehi Iker Tikunoi. That's the main tikkun of a soul. Bechinas Chaim Nitzchim Sheiskeloset. That's this eternal life of the future that a person will be zeichet to. That's this Heoras HaRotzlein. And when does it start? When at the point that the person is buried. Ki tekev kishod ameis. Because Rav Noson Zal explains, as soon as a person dies, that's when he's supposed to start immediately living that new life, that eternal life, the life of Heoras HaRotzlein. U'kameshikosuv b'medrash al posuk toiv yoim hamodes miyoim hivoldoi. As the Medrash writes, that the day of death is better than the day of birth. The Yahrzeit is better than the birthday. Shekishodom chai moinen loy lamisa. Ukishemeis moinen loy lechayim. Because when a person's living, we count his years towards death. Each day he's walking in the direction of the grave. After the person dies, we count his years towards life, towards eternal life. Ki oz ikar hascholas chiyusoy hanitzchi. Because that's when the person starts living his eternal life. However, it does not begin until the person is buried properly. Because the soul has no rest until the burial. As the Gemara says, bebechinas v'yoshuv, we saw it in the pasuk before, right? V'yoshuv heofra la'oretz v'haruach toshuv elolikim. The only time the spirit can go up to Hashem is when the body returns to the earth. Ki kol zman she'ein oy lahanefesh shel holikim lemoker chayitz v'lemalo ein yechoy lohoyer baguf shu b'chinas dorimato. Because so long as the soul is not given that ability to lift off and to rise up to Hashem, it cannot shine into the body what it needs to shine into the body. You don't have that kesher between the dorimalo dorimato. Ki ze klal, because this is a very important rule, Rav Noson Zal says. Shekol ma shehanefesh oyla ba'aliyah yisera, hi me'ira b'yoyser lechol amadregas hatachtoyne, shemichines dorimata, b'chines aguf. The higher that the soul is given the ability to rise up, the more it has the ability to shine its light further down, to reach all the way down to the lowest place, to the body, no matter how low the body is. This is the whole praise of the great tzaddikim. The greater the tzaddik, he has the ability to reach down, further down, to worse rishonim, to bring them close. Proof is, Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was so great a tzaddik, was able to take the furthest of the Yisroi, the Pope who worshipped every single idol in the world, and he was able to be Makarav him, to bring him close. Nimtza, shehakvuro hi tikun hameis. So therefore, burial is a major tikun for the person who passed away. My Rebbe Zichron of Rabbi Rosenfeld lived in America, and he lived during the 40s, 50s, 60s, when unfortunately many Jews got involved in conservative and reform and moderate, all kinds of stuff. And many Jews, this is one of the things that they started shying away from, kosher Jewish burial. People got involved in cremation and mausoleums and other things. Or again, what type of coffin do you put when a parent or a close relative passes away? the people that own the funeral home say, I'm sure you're going to want to show respect for your pet. After this, this is the final opportunity to pay your respects. You don't want any cheap coffin. You want something oak, something really, or bronze, or gold, something that'll ensure that your parent's soul will never, ever go up. Something that'll ensure that the body will never return to the earth. Chas v'shalom. Whereas the whole tikkun ames is dependent. The quicker that the body returns to earth, the quicker that's when the soul is given permission to go up and do its whole thing, the whole operation. And this is why the only correct type of burial is where it preferably they use no box at all, which unfortunately most countries don't allow legally. You're not allowed to do it even in Eretz Yisrael. They don't allow that. But at least they leave the bottom open or they open the sides. They do different things. There's no talus. They don't wrap in a talus?
What?
Sure, sure. Could be sometimes, yes. But that's the point that I'm making is that the cheaper the coffin and the weaker the box and the more it's left open for the body to have contact with the earth. That's the tikkun for the mace. That's the ultimate tikkun. That's what allows the soul to go up. And the main tikkun is the nefesh to go up. And it's when the nefesh is given permission to soar up, 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 that's when it has the ability to shine way down to the body. This Se'oras HaRotzayim, which is the eternal life of the future, She'yizke kol echod achar t'chiyas ha'meisim, which every Jew is going to be zeichet to eventually after t'chiyas ha'meisim. Avol haschol ha'tzmichas ha'chayim hazeh shubchin Se'oras HaRotzayim maschil me'eis ha'kvura. However, when is the moment that this Chayim Nitzchim begins, this new life begins, this Se'oras HaRotzayim begins? The moment of burial. That's when the body starts deteriorating and rotting and becoming part of the earth. And that's what allows the filth that each and every single Jew acquired from the time that Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, that filth becomes, decomposes. It's like laundry. You have clothing and it has a stain on it. And you put it into the machine and you attach this detergent. And this detergent has a chemical power when mixed with water or hot water sometimes. It causes the dirty stain to decompose and to dissolve and to disappear. Lahavdil, the exact same process take place when a Jew is buried. And the Jew is put into the ground as the earth starts doing its thing. That stain, that filth that each and every one of us acquired from the time of the Eitz Hadas starts decomposing. Shekol pegamo yehoyaydeo achilo shechom Eitz Hadas. Where again, Adam Rishon's crime was eating. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. Shaydeze pogam bebechina Se'oras HaRotzayim, which was a pegam in this Se'oras HaRotzayim. Ukama shekasavnu le'el mizeh, as we spoke all the way in the beginning of this halacha. That's when this new eternal life begins. And that was why when the rabbis of that generation saw that the goyim were not allowing the Jews to bury these harugei beitar, savru shechas v'sholem efes tikva. They thought it's all over. Then it's all over. Ki ikar tzoras churban beis hamikdash huma shegaramnu b'avoyneseinu achurban. Because the main pain that we feel over the churban beis hamikdash, the main tragedy is the fact that we caused this through our sins. Shaydeze ein mi sheyechaper badeinu alavoyneseinu. And as a result, there is no longer a beis hamikdash to atone for our sins. Sheze ikar hatzora gdoilam mikol hatzora sheboilam. That's the worst problem. Of all the problems that the Jews could ever, ever have, the worst problem is not to have a means of ridding themselves of their sins. Kama shekoso shama, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran in the beginning of the chapter. Ve'ikar hatzorohu shalidei zgabrus ha'avoyinu shegoromu ha'churban beis ha'mikdosh yev shelichloil ho'ilomus v'liskois l'arotz ha'rotzen anal shezei ikar ha'tachas kanal. And again, the main tragedy of the churban beis ha'mikdosh is that we no longer have the ability to unify upper and lower worlds, which activates the ha'oras ha'rotzen, which rids us of our sins. When the Jews saw that this kind of decree was issued, that they're not being allowed to bury their dead, they thought this is the end. There's no hope anymore. That the Jews have no chance anymore of being zeicha to he'oras harotzayim, for which burial is the key to it. Shehi horas, right, ubefrat haruge betar, shenehergu al yidei shehidliku neirois l'churban beis hamikdosh, kama shekoso b'medrash. And especially the haruge betar, where the reason why they were killed was they lit candles at the time of the churban beis hamikdosh. And the Roman emperor thought that they were mocking him, a whole story that they were making fun of him, so he came and he wiped out the whole city. The Gemara tells a story there, that at first something wrong happened and the emperor came to wipe out the city, and then they said, no, it's not true, we didn't mean it, and he left with his troops. Then afterwards they lit candles, and his troops said to him, look at that, they're mocked, they're making fun of you, like you left, they're making a party that they got rid of you, that you left. So he said, oh yeah? And he went back and wiped out the whole city. It was Beitar, no? Or was, or am I? I think so. The story in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin. I'm almost sure. Kama shekosu b'medrash. Vaydeze himshichu al atzmon gzeiras ha'churban yoyser v'yoyser. And as a result of that, they ended up bringing upon themselves the gzeira of the churban beis hamikdash, you know, in the worst way. Kikol ha'misabel al Yerushalayim zoyche v'roye b'simchosa. Because any Jew who mourns the destruction of Yerushalayim is promised that he will be zoyche to see the rebuilding. Ulehepech, kol mi she'eino in misabel al ha'churban, whereas the opposite, any Jew who doesn't feel bad about the churban beis hamikdash, it doesn't bother him that there's no beis hamikdash. Ma kol shken kishesomeach al atzor hazois, especially if he's celebrating when the beis hamikdash was destroyed. Ne'amar, the pasuk says about them, vatihi avonoisam chakuch al atzmoisam, their sin was engraved on their bones. Kamo yishar hazal, as it says over there. Ve'ikar kilkul ha'avoyinu yishem ikar pekam churban beis hamikdash kanal hu shalidei zeh ein zoichen lahoras harotzoim be'eis hatchiyah kishein ozeich ha'tshuva. And the main damage that sins causes, which is the main pegam of the churban beis hamikdash, is whereby a person is put into a predicament where he can never be zoichet to ha'oras harotzoim, even at the time of tchiyas ha'meisim, if he didn't do tshuva. The main sorrow of sins is that if chas shalom a person doesn't get his sins laundered and removed, either through karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash or through a sincere tshuva, that person cannot get to this Seoras HaRotzim. V'al kein kishero ha'chachomim, she'af al pikein chomal Hashem alamoy, v'nitnu harugei beita l'kvura. And therefore, when the rabbis saw that after everything Hashem was having pity on them, and he was allowing them to bury the dead, ro shadayin chazdei Hashem loisamnu, they saw that the kindness of Hashem had not terminated completely. Ki loy kachatoeinu oisalanu, Hashem is not treating us like we deserve to be, you know, as horribly as we deserve to be treated. Ki afal pikein chomal aleim b'koyach hatzadikim amitim she'osku b'tikunam, because despite everything, Hashem had pity on Klal Yisrael in the zuchus of the great tzadikim who were trying to be misakin them, the spalalu aleim, and the great tzadikim who davened for them, ad shenitnu lekvura, until Hashem removed the decree and they were given permission to bury those dead. Ki atoy v'hametiv hu abrocho shelosid, because remember, this bracha of Hatoy Vameitiv is called the bracha of the future. Sheyivorchu akoil beis hatchia, which is the bracha that Klal Yisrael is going to make at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Shehu bechinas heoras harotzoin. Shehu ikar Hatoy Vameitiv anitzchi, which is the ultimate good. Bechinas mor avtuvcha shetzmat al reecha. V'alkein tiknu bracha zois bebirchas hamozoin daika. And that's why this bracha is not put in Shachris Minchama. It's put in the bracha that's said over food.
ki ikar heora sarotzon shelosid mamshich nalatzmoi boze hoilon beiso achilo daiko.
Because this concept of heora sarotzon of the future, the time that a Jew can draw it upon himself most is when he's eating, bedafka during eating. Shezeo bechinas mitzvahs birchas hamozonim. This is the concept of the awesome privilege that we have of birchas, saying birchas hamozonim.
V'alkein oz bois shenitnu harugei beit halikvura ha'isifu bebirchas hamozonim daiko birchas hatoiv ha'meitiv.
And that's why when the harugei beitar were allowed to be buried, that's when the rabbis added this bracha to the benching, to birkat hamazon.
Birchas hatoiv ha'meitiv shemoira she'adayin gamato achar toikef ha'churbon yesh tikva adayin liskos l'toiv ha'nitzchi yishur ha'sarotzoim.
This bracha shows us that even after the churban beis hamikdash, the Jews still have a chance at being zeicha to this heoras harotzayim, this eternal life.
V'zeh royin al yidei shenitnu likvura.
And this was demonstrated to Klal Yisrael by the fact that Hashem did allow them to be buried.
She'oz ikar haschol as tikkun zeh liskos l'heoras harotzayim k'nal.
Because it's with burial that this main tikkun of heoras harotzayim begins in the biggest way.